Al-Khatab. That a strong man is not one who kills the other guy, is one who controls himself at the time of anger. And when you see this, or when you sense that this is about to happen in your household, the wisest from amongst you is the one that takes a step back. Overlook it. She sacrificed everything for you guys. You're not the one that left your house. She's the one that left her house. She left her mother and father and everything just for you. The least that you can do for her is overlook this. And if you be patient, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will receive the same reward as Ayyub alayhi salam received for his patience. And if she was to be patient, she will receive the same reward Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, received for her patience. And then guys, you don't know. You know, out of this patience, what good comes out of it? فَأَسَاءَ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٍ وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِنَّ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا فَإِنْ كَرِحْتُمُهُنَّ This is the verse. فَإِنْ كَرِحْتُمُهُنَّ فَأَسَاءَ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. You don't know what good will come out of this tomorrow. It is so possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this very woman give you such a child that becomes a comfort of your eyes tomorrow and brings you both close. You never know what good comes out of patience. If you look at many of these awliyaullah, you know, if you study their lives, a lot of them had wives that were, had short fuses. Look at the wife of Habib Ajmi rahmatullahi alayhi. Guy was a valley of his time. And when he would come home and his wife would have a dig, she would have a go at him. And she one time she turned on and said, look, you know, if Allah doesn't answer your prayers, then get a job and work for somebody that's gonna give you a few pounds. He'd go all day, he'd spend in the jungle and prostrate before the Almighty Allah. Come evening, he was ashamed to meet his wife because she's waiting at home, waiting for the wage. She asked for the wage. Oh, I felt ashamed asking him. He's the most merciful. And this is what he'd do. One day she lost the plot. Now you're going to get the wage tomorrow, or else you've had it. Get a job elsewhere. And he goes again in the jungle and he returns in the evening and the guy's got not a penny. Now this time he's returning at home and all of a sudden there's smoke coming out of the chimney and there's this aroma, sweet smell of this exotic food. And he sees a wife that's got a smile on her face. And she comes and she says, okay, that your employer has already sent the wage. And he sent a message today that you should work even harder. And you shouldn't, and the reason that this money has been delayed was not because we didn't have the means. We had the means, but we want you to be contented and happy with what you receive. And then she brings bags full of gold coins, dinars, and shows, okay, this is what the employer had sent. Habib Ajmi, tears begin to flow from his eyes. And he said, okay, this has not come from the employer. This has come from the one who possesses the treasure of the heavens and the earth, the Almighty Allah. Then she promised him that from today onwards, I will never give you a hard time. Because of this patience, such became of this woman. After this, she was the one that would stay awake all night and she would worship the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come the last quarter of the night, she would wake up Abu Ajmi rahmatullah alayhi, okay, come quickly, it is time for tahajjud. And she would wake up her husband. Now, these are the steps that we should take. And inshallah, in general, this should be sufficient to keep the marriage going till death do us part. But just say it doesn't work. And it's so possible that it doesn't work. Say you tried everything under the sun and you've overlooked and you were patient. But it, you know, things are going berserk at home. The Quran mentions, if this is the case, you know, things are going berserk at home. The Quran says, step number one, فَعِذُوهُن. If things are going absolutely berserk, you will give them nasiha. You will advise them. Again, following the guidelines Quran has set, أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْوَوْزَةَ الْحَسَنَةِ. That you will give them nasiha and advise them with wisdom. Just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. You would explain to them the benefit of obedience and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them as a reward if they are obedient to their husbands. And at the same time you will do this, Not in the presence of your mother and father. How many people tell their wives off in the presence of their mother and father and humiliate them? This is not going to benefit, this is going to make things worse. Or they will tell their wives off in the presence of their children, and children understand everything. They're not as sick as we may perceive them to be. So you will do this while you are alone in some room, gently, calmly, you will explain it to them. And if you do it in this manner, if she is a good woman, then she will accept this. If this doesn't work, the Quran says now, you know, the Quran always mentions two things. It's either heaven or hell. You will start with a gentle procedure. If this doesn't work, again, gently, this time you will scare her of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if she remains disobedient. And you will explain to her the consequences and the effect this disobedience will have on your children and on your marriage, and how the enemy, everybody has people that they don't get on with, how these people will take an advantage of your situation, and before you know it, it'll end up in talaq. This is how you will explain. And you will always use this method. Say you've used this hundreds of times at home, and now you've come to a stage where this is not having no impact. What do you do now? The Quran says, وَحْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. You've tried this method many a time and it's not working. Now the Quran says, if things are still going berserk, don't sleep with her. Don't sleep with this woman. And if it helps, stop speaking to her for a few days. If she's good, she will not be able to tolerate. And if she really loves you from inside, no good woman, no obedient woman can tolerate such separation from her husband. And if she's good within, this separation, this not talking to her, this sleeping in a different bed or in a different room, will make her ask for forgiveness and she will leave her disobedience. Say you've tried this hundreds of times. As a last resort, the Quran says, وَضْرِبُوهُمْ. Now you can hit them. Now I'm going to explain this verse in some detail. Why? Because many of us literally lay into them. You know, literally give them a battering. And then we justify this, Islamically it is permissible. I mean, look, it is happening in this country. Only a few days ago in the radio, they were saying 3 out of every woman gets abused by her partner physically. Get a good laying into. This is what they were trying to say. Now the Quran says, وَضْرِبُوهُمْ, that you can hit them. The thing that I want you to bear in mind here is, their permissibility is given due to what was right at the time. Number one. And it so can, this method may work with some people, even though it may be a minority. It was given as a last resort. And it was given to save this marriage from the greater problem of talaq and everything that follows thereafter, from ruining the life of the children. However, in spite of this, it is something that Islam dislikes. And it discourages. Because when we open the sunnah and look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يجلد أحدكم امرأته جلد العبد ثم يجامع في آخر اليوم. That one of you shouldn't hit his wife as he beats his slave, and then he'll come at the end of the day and he will come to his wife as a man comes to his husband. Doesn't that happen? You have a slave, you've cracked, and at the end of the day you've still come to as a husband comes to his wife. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تضربوا إماء الله. Do not hit the female servants of Allah. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed with regards to those that do this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they from amongst the men are not the best of you. Khud Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma daraba Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khadiman wala imra'atan wala daraba biyadihi shay'a. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never touched his khadim, never touched a woman, never touched anybody with his hands, ever. So looking at this verse of the Quran in context of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is clearly evident though permissibility has been given because of the reason that I've mentioned. It is something that Islam discourages, dislikes. This is why the fuqaha, the jurists, write under this verse of the Quran, and when one researches this verse, to leave this is far superior than to do this. And I, adding to this, living in an environment where people are not accustomed to this, and where it won't work anywhere, where it will make things worse, it is far greater to leave it and to not to act upon it. Having said this, the fuqaha have put conditions under which it may be permissible. Number one, you've tried everything prior to this and it's not worked. You've tried the nasiha, you've not slept with her, you've stopped sleeping, you've tried everything, and you use this as a last resort. This is condition number one. Condition number two, you think it's going to benefit her, and something's going to come out of it, she's going to leave her disobedience. If you think that this is going to make things worse, and she's not going to leave her disobedience, but okay, it's going to become even worse, then you can't do it. Number three, you don't hit her because of enmity, hatred, or because you will have a go at her. Or her disobedience came about because she was asking for her right. She was asking for her right, she was right, and you cracked her. No way, not permissible. Number four, you don't hit the face, the private parts, or any part which is considered to behold beauty. Number five, the hitting has to be ضرب غير مبرح, a light hitting, not the buttering. That's something that will not pain. Number one, will not hurt her, will not break any limb, no mark on her body, no bruise, no blood whatsoever. Ibn Abbas, if not the greatest commentator of the Quran, when he was asked with regards to this verse that Allah says, وَضْرِبُوْهُنْ, that this ضَرْبِ غَيْرِ مُبَرِكْ, this light hitting, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? And Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, هُوَ مَا يُكُونُ بِالسِّوَاكِ, the one, the hitting that takes place with a miswak. You know how big is a miswak? It's smaller than your toothbrush. Another faqih was asked, what is Allah referring to? And we're talking about people that understood this Quran billions of times better than you and I understand this Quran. What is Allah referring to? He replied, Allah is referring to something that is done with a handkerchief that is folded. Fold a handkerchief and do it. You're thinking, what's the point? Isn't it? You know, what are you going to get out of a little miswak? This is exactly the point that I'm trying to convey. You're going to get nothing out of it, so why do it? Nothing you're going to get out of this. This is why it is far superior to leave it. And the permissibility that was given was due to rife, what was rife in the time, and that it may work with some people and not others. So this is what you will do, and you will try to make this marriage work inside your houses without letting anybody else know. I mean, you know, within husbands and wives, some of us are so bad that we relate everything that happens inside our house to every Tom, Dick and Harry on the street. Our sisters have the habit to relating this to every one of their friends. You know, what happens in the house should be kept private. Only when it gets too much and you can't handle it should you consult someone. And then the person that you should consult shouldn't be any Tom, Dick and Harry. Somebody that with a head on his shoulder. Somebody that will give you good advice, not, you know, exhort you on to break your marriage. And this is what happens. Last resort, the Quran said, you've tried everything within the home. Now the Quran says, you need help. فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Call a guy, a member of her family, and one member of his family. Or either get some alim involved, and relate your problems to them. And these people should listen to both sides of the story. Number one. And at the same time, they should not let their emotions get the better of them. What am I saying? You know, if the guy's coming from the girl's side, he shouldn't be just supporting the girl. And the guy that comes from the boy's side shouldn't be favoring the boy and supporting him. They should listen to both sides of the story with an open heart. Listen to it carefully, see where they are going wrong, and then put a proposal in front of this husband and wife, and this husband and wife should act upon it. Say you've tried every single thing. Now this is why I've come, just to say these last 10 minutes. Say you've tried everything under the sun. And it is so possible that you've tried everything under the sun. As a last resort, Islam says you can give divorce. Tried everything, now there is a couple, they've tried everything, things are not working. It is possible, it is wrong to keep these two together. It is so possible that they will marry elsewhere. Allah will give her a good husband, Allah will give him a good wife, and they can continue their life. You've tried everything under the sun, it doesn't work. As the last alternative, Islam says at-talaq. But at the same time, it warned the guy, you know, just don't give it, just like that. أَبْغَزُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. This is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests most of all. And it warned the woman as well. You know, women are always asking for divorce. Little thing, they're asking for divorce. Send me home. Islam warned. أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ سَأَلَتْ زَوْجَهَا طَلَاقًا مِنْ غَيْرِ بَعْثٍ فَحَرَامٌ عَلَيْهِ رَاحِيَةُ الْجَنَّةِ. If she was to ask for a divorce with any reason whatsoever, then the fragrance of Jannah is haram on such a woman. So this is at the last resort. And the thing that I came for was here. I want to get rid of this mentality. That you have to give 3 talaqs. And that you can only do damage by giving 3. This is something completely wrong. There is no such thing that you have to give 3 talaqs to do the damage. You can do damage in one. Now listen very carefully here, because you'll be listening to things which you probably never heard before. You can do the damage in 1 talaq. Yes, in Islam there are 3 talaq. Why are there 3? Because in the days of Jahiliyyah, people would abuse women. 10 talaqs, 20 talaqs, 1,000 talaqs. There were those that would give 1 talaq or a few talaqs. And before the period, and then the women would have to stay a period of waiting, iddat. Now before that period came to an end, they would take their talaq back. And then they would give another one. So she has to stay another period of waiting. Before that came to an end, they take her back. Then give another one. So she has to stay another period of waiting. So like that, they would keep on playing about with the women. So that a period keeps on going on and on and on, and she can't marry anyone else, and she can't stay with him either. So Islam put an end to this. And Islam said 3 talaq. At-talaqu marratan. Guys, you've got 2 chances. You give 1, you can take her back. You give 2, you can still take her back. فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلَّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِيَ زَوْجٍ غَيْرًا. Once you've given the 3rd, she's gone. She's no longer your wife. And she's not halal for you till you make halala, till she doesn't marry another guy. 1 point. 2nd point was, who should have the authority to give a talaq? There's only 2 people, isn't there? So either the man or the woman. Now both of them can't have it, because talaqs will be flying left, right and centre. She says, I'm giving you a talaq, he wants a beer, took it, you've gone. Can I give it to her before she divorces me? So 2 people can't have it, so Islam gave it to 1. Now Islam gave this talaq to man, not to a woman, not because Islam disregards a woman. Islam has given a woman such a status that no deen has ever given her, no culture has ever given her or will ever give her. A woman, if the marriage is not working, can get out of it. How? Number 1, she can put the condition of this at the time of her marriage. I'm not going to explain any of these things because they'll start doing it. Number 2, she can make khula. She can pay herself out of the marriage, give him a few pounds and chill. Number 3, she can approach a mufti and qazi, present her case, The Mufti and Qazi will look in detail with regards to what she's claiming, and if he sees fit, he can nullify the nikah and break this marriage. So a woman can get out of it in three different ways. So Islam gave it to the man. Why? Because out of the two, the least likely to give talaq is the man. And this is what Islam wants. Islam is not encouraging divorce. Islam dislikes divorce. And the least out of the two to give talaq is the man. Why? Because a man has more control over his emotions than a woman. I'm not saying there are some women out there that by the grace of Allah that are better than men in this aspect. But in general, men have more control over their emotions than women, and thus are least likely to give talaq. Number two, who's burdened with all the financial responsibilities? Come on, guys. It's like here, if your wives are working here and paying for it all. Islam's burdened the guy with all the financial responsibilities. Who wants to pay for all the wedding celebrations? And in Bradford, it goes anywhere to about 20 grand. You know, tomorrow, if you spent 20 grand today, you're not going to be given a divorce that easy, are you? If 20 grand is going to come out of your pocket tomorrow, who paid for the dowry? You know, in the Arab world, it's, by the grace of Allah, we are fortunate Allah has given us good wives, good women, that don't ask for that kind of women. They can ask. You know, 200,000, 300,000 riyals, equivalent to 100 grand here. You know, 50,000 grand, and you name it, what else comes with it? If that's the type of dowry that the man's given, do you think he's going to give divorce tomorrow? Because when the next one that he brings is another 300 grand. You know, on the other side, the woman, party time. 500 from this one, got a divorce. 500 from another grand, another divorce. You should be making a million like this. On top of this, who has to pay for the upbringing of the children if he gets a divorce? Again, it's on the man. On top of this, when he divorces his wife and she sits in that period of waiting, who has to pay for the expenditure? The nafqa and sukna, if he's renting a house and all the food and everything goes with it, it's the man that has to pay for this. On top of this, the mut'atul talaq, which is known as the gift that is given to divorcees, you probably never heard of this. Who has to give that? Again, man. You know, when a man knows that he's got all these financial responsibilities, which literally go in thousands, on top of supporting this new one, do you think he's just going to go give divorce? No way! This is why Islam gave it to man. Then Islam, again, after giving it, man, it explained how to give it. Not to go wild on it, Islam explained how to give divorce. Listen very carefully to this, because there is so much wisdom in the way Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam taught us how to give divorce. Islam said, you will give her one talaq, just one, in a period, pure period, in which you haven't come to her as a man comes to his wife. Do you know what I'm referring to when I say a man comes to his wife? In the marital sense. Yeah? You know, sometimes I don't know. I could go through this the whole day and then ask me what you're referring to. So you give her one talaq in a pure period where you haven't come to her as a husband comes to his wife, and then you leave her. 3 menstrual cycles pass, and after this, she's no longer your wife. Have you understood this? One talaq in a period where you haven't come to her as a husband comes to his wife, then you leave her, you know, the monthly periods that she gets. 3 of them pass, comes to an end, she's no longer your wife. Now Islam said that you've got to give her talaq in a period, in a pure period. Now women have 2 types of days, don't they? Guys are shocked. She's either going to be pure or she's either going to be impure. She's either on her period or she's either not on her period. So Islam said that you will give her a talaq in a pure period, meaning you will not give her a talaq in the state of impurity when she's on her cycle, her period. Why did Islam say that? Why? Number one, if you give her talaq in her period, you will be hurting the woman. How will you be hurting the woman? Her period of waiting will become long. She will have to wait longer. Let me give you an example. The wife is on her period today. How long is an average period? About a week, isn't it? Women differ, but let's say a week. Say you've given talaq today. Yeah? Islam says that she has to wait for how many? 3 complete periods. So if she came on yesterday and you give her talaq today, this is not a complete period, is it? So she has to wait for this one to finish. Then after that, wait for another 3. Her period of waiting has become too long. If I was to give her talaq today, I'm just giving an example, before you say he's divorced his wife. If I was to give talaq today, she's in a pure state. 2 days after she's on her period, she only has to wait for 3. Look how quick it is in comparison to scenario number one. It is a lot longer. So if you give talaq in a period, you're hurting the woman. She has to wait for longer than she normally has to wait for. She can't get married after that. You know, it'll take a lot longer for her to get married. Number one. Secondly, Islam wants to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing. It is so possible, you know, when women are on their period, women are different. We don't understand this because by the grace of Allah, Allah has not put us through this. But women experience different things. You know, people go around barring their wives because they don't feel well on their periods. They don't even understand what she's going through. Some women feel a lot of pain while they're going through this period. Some of them are unbalanced. And they're not in that pure state either. They're not as fresh as they normally are either. So Islam wants to make sure that you've given this talaq and you know exactly what you're doing. It is so possible that you've become influenced by her being unbalanced. By her not being in the right frame of mind. By her being in that state of impurity, it is so possible that you've become influenced by that and you've gone and divorced. So Islam wants to make sure that you've not been influenced by anything. This is why Islam has said that you cannot give her talaq, and it's haram for you to give her talaq while she's on her period. Is this understood? Point number two. Islam said that you will give her talaq in a pure period. One in which you haven't come to her as a husband comes to his wife. Say, why did Islam say this? Say you came to your wife as a man comes to his wife yesterday. Today you've gone and divorced her. Understood? You came to her as a husband comes to his wife yesterday. Today you've gone and divorced her. Her period normally comes next week. You've divorced her. Come next week, she doesn't come on her period. Because you came to her as a man comes to his wife, she's now expecting. You're going to live to the grey, aren't you? Okay, she's expecting a child is going to be born and I've gone on, divorced her. So Islam said, you will not give her a divorce in a pure period where you've come to her as a husband comes to his wife. You will give her a talaq in a pure period where you've not come to her. Look at the wisdom in this. Pure period. Your wife's on a pure period. Pure, she's pure. She's not impure. Pure days. And you come to her yesterday as a husband comes to his wife. Yeah. 2 weeks pass. What's going to come next? Period, isn't it? Her impure days. How long are they going to last? Average 7 days. You know, women's differ. Islam says, now you know the next pure period where you haven't touched her, give her one talaq now. Why does it say that? Look at the wisdom.
pure period, and you came to her as a husband comes to his wife. You haven't touched her after that. 2 weeks pass. Then 7 days of a period pass. How long has it been? 3 weeks. Do you think a man can stay away from his wife for that long? You know, when a woman's just on her period, some start to melt. Reality. We can't tolerate it. Sometimes it's too much for us. Now a person been waiting, I've just given an example of 3 weeks. Now Islam says, give her one talaq. The person that's been waiting for 3 weeks, and then come that pure period where he's not touched her, and he goes and divorces her in spite of being inclined towards her, because you know, we have needs, we have to fulfill them. If a guy's gone and divorced her one talaq after having waited for so long, that guy must know exactly what he's doing. This is why Islam said, give her one talaq when she's in a pure period where you've not touched her. Then Islam says, leave her now till 3 menstrual cycles pass. You know the beauty about this talaq is, after 3 menstrual cycles pass, in the eyes of God, this woman, after having received this one talaq, she's no longer your wife. Again, the beauty of this talaq is, say you, as everybody does, regret it. You gave her that one talaq. Before her 3 menstrual cycles come to an end, you've got a chance to take her back. That's how long Islam has given you. And if you want to take her back within that period, all you've got to do is come to her as a husband comes to his wife, or tell her that I've taken my talaq back. And she is your wife. But say that you don't want her back, then you won't do this, and you will leave her till her 3 menstrual cycles come to an end. 3 menstrual cycles come to an end, she's not your wife. Again, the beauty of this is, say 2 years down the line you regret what you did. The beautiful thing is, divorcing a woman in this manner, 2 years down the line you began to see sense, and you want to go back to this woman. All you've got to do is redo nikah with her, and you can marry her. Now do you understand the beautiful teachings of Islam? And we say Allahu Akbar on the teachings of Islam. And this is the only way. First of all, I'm telling you not to divorce. And I'm also telling you that before you ever divorce, you will resort to an alim. You will ask him before you do anything. But if it's going to be done, then it's better be done in this way. There are other ways, but I'm not going to tell you them other ways, because this is the safest and the best for all of us. But we overlook this, don't we? We overlook all the teachings that I've mentioned prior to this, and we go for the kill. And we give all three at one go. And then after this, we're looking for a way out. Remember, and the excuse that everybody offers is that it was done in the state of anger. Who does it when he's laughing? Who does it when things are going rosy at home? You know, when things are comfortable at home, is anybody a fool to divorce his wife? Why bother? The only time divorce takes place is when things are not going at home and you've lost the plot. Second thing, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَرَاسٌ جِدُّهُنَّ جِدٌّ وَحَزْرُهُنَّ جِدٌّ النِّقَاهُ الطَّلَاقُ الرَّجْعَةُ. The three things, their reality is reality, and their joking is even a reality. And one of the things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned was divorce. You know, even if you're joking with your wife and you divorce her, in the eyes of God she's gone. Nikah is exactly the same thing. There's this girl sitting there, 2 Muslim witnesses, you've said to that girl, I've taken you in my marriage, and you're joking with her, and she's laughing as though, okay, I've accepted. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of God, you're married. So three things, their reality is their reality, and even their joking when they uttered in a jokingly manner, they are reality. And one of the things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is a talaq. These 3 talaqs, if somebody gives 3 talaqs, then his wife is no longer his wife. And this is the opinion of all the fuqaha the four great imams that have lived, that the world has ever seen. Imam Abu Hanifa holds this opinion. Imam Shafi holds this opinion. Imam Malik holds this opinion. Imam Ahmad holds this opinion. And what do they base their opinion on? On evidences like this. The verses of the Quran. At-talaqu marratan fa imsakum bima'rufin aw tasrihun bi-ihsan. Number two, the verse of the Quran. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. All these other verses of the Quran. وَإِنْ طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنْ طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ مَا لَمْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ. The verse of the Quran. وَلِلْمُطَلَّقَاتِ مَتَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. On top of this, we've got all these hadiths of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an, which has been recorded by Imam al-Bukhari. The hadith of Uwaymar al-Ajlani, which has been recorded by Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith of Rukan ibn Abd Yazid, recorded by Abu Dawud. The hadith of Ibn Umar, recorded by Dari Qutni. Again, the hadith of Ibn Umar, recorded by Imam Muslim. The hadith of Mahmud ibn Labid, recorded by Imam Nasai. The hadith of Ibrahim ibn Abdullah, recorded by Abdul Razak. The hadith of Ali, recorded by Dari Qutni. Then on top of this, there are all the narrations of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een and their fatwa. And on top of this, there is the ijma of the ummah that the three talaqs, when one gives three talaqs, then his wife is no longer his wife till she doesn't marry another man. And in spite of this, everybody goes for the hadith of Ibn Abbas. Yet, it was the Ibn Abbas, his hadith was abrogated, and Ibn Abbas himself would give fatwa to the contrary, that if a man gives three talaq to his wife, she's no longer his wife. This is why I say, we play with the book of Allah. Knowing all this, that these are the teachings of Islam, and then we look for a way out. That wife is no longer his wife till she marries another man, and then this other man comes to her as a man comes to his wife, and thereafter, on his own accord, he divorces her or he dies. She sits a period of waiting. Only now will she become halal for the first husband if he still wants to marry her. All these jimul fixit halalas that go on with regards to them, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَعْنَ اللَّهُ الْمُحَلِّلْ وَالْمُحَلَّلَهُ. The curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon these people that jimul fixit these halalas. So these were the teachings of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to act upon what I've said. Allah give you the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Let's make dua.